Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship, where we love you enough to tell you the truth. On these programs, you will be able to follow our expository study of the authorized King James Version as we read verse by verse through books and occasionally tackle important topics for the purpose of helping Bible believers gain a thorough and accurate understanding of God's Word. We now invite you to join us in our study. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning of verse 51, and tonight is a refresher. We're studying prophecy, and we're going to take kind of a different look at it tonight. We're going to look at the fact that the stage is set, and we're going to start by reading 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 58 through 58, and let's get a bit of a perspective on this before we even start discussing the stage. So I'm going to start in verse 51, and you guys jump in on the even, and let's read this together. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you study prophecy correctly, that's where you end. See, a lot of people study prophecy just because it's kind of spooky. It's like a scary movie. And that's why when you talk to them and you try to encourage them with the rapture, for example, they don't want to hear about it. They want to hear about the Antichrist. Ooh, and people who don't take the mark get their heads cut off. Well, that's all true, but the purpose of studying prophecy, and the reason God gave prophecy to be studied, was to encourage us. And it was to say, number one, God is in control. God's not being fooled by any of this. And time is short. It says in verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's not a blink of an eye. It's a twinkling of an eye. And I've heard different explanations of what that means. But I may have already used this, but I remember when I was younger, the preacher would say, okay, I want everybody to blink. Ready, go. And everybody blink. He said, no, faster. And he go faster. And everybody started blinking, yeah. Tried to get you to blink. He says, still not fast enough. This is still going to be quick, faster than that. Uh-huh. The twinkling of an eye is faster than you can blink. And everybody's trying to...
Oh, no,
not
quick, faster.
How about this, preacher? You know. Well, that's it's kind of a non-issue. We were talking about it in Bible study the other day that the question as to when the dead in Christ rise. And the dead in Christ rise first, and then we which are alive and remain rise after that. But it's not going to be a long stretch. We're not going to sit there and say, I wonder when our turn coming. You know? So it's not even anything to argue. It's just going to happen. The dead in Christ and in us. Faster than that. So I want to emphasize before we move on that we don't have another moment to spare. The next moment, the next twinkling of an eye could be it. And there's just, I don't want to just throw stones at other people. All of us, and I myself, have to remind myself constantly, this could be it. There aren't any other things that have to happen before that rapture takes place. Paul said in a moment, it could happen any time. any moment, imminent return of Christ is what Christians have always believed in. People say, oh, that pre-trib rapture, that's only come around in the last few years. That's not true. Not everybody understood all the parts of the pieces. But Christians have always looked for Jesus to return at any moment. And it was only from Augustine and the whole amillennial, we're building the kingdom on earth thing, that started to influence people and corrupt their understanding. But Bible-believing Christians from the very beginning have looked for Jesus to come at any moment and take us out of here. And that's where we want to start. The stage is set for the rapture. But then there's also the fact that there are plenty of things revealed to us that say, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And then we can look and we can say, well, wait a minute, if that's going to happen, then the world has to be ready for that to happen. And if it is ready for that to happen, that's a sign we're ready. And if this and that and this and that and the number of things are all lined up begin to increase, you know, you've got to be getting closer. Well, we're living in a time where everything's ready. Things that through church history, Christians believed Jesus could come at any moment, but they thought, but I wonder how that's going to work out, because it doesn't, like Israel. Israel becoming a nation is one of those things that has to be in place. Well, since 1948, it's been in place. Before that, they said, Israel's going to be brought back. They're going to be brought back. And now we look back and say, Israel has been brought back. The stage is set as far as Israel's concerned. The stage is set as far as the rapture is concerned. Let's turn back to Zechariah 12. And in Zechariah 12, verses 9 and 10. In Zechariah 12, I'll read verse 9, you join verse 10. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now, of course, you see there, Jesus is called the firstborn from among the dead. You see that he's the only begotten son. And it says that Israel will look upon him and mourn as for an only son. It also says they will look upon him whom they have pierced. That would be Jesus. When he returns, you're not going to know him because he looks like Kenny Loggins, we've said. And he got these pictures of Jesus all over the place. We don't know what he looked like, but we do know this. He has nail scars. He still bears the scars of suffering for you and I and paying for our sins. That's how we'll know Jesus. But he's a Jew. He's not black or white. But we won't know him because of his skin color either. We know him because of the scars. But in this text, it is clear that Israel is going to be in possession of Jerusalem. When did that happen? Anybody? 1967-68 is when the 1967 war, and in 1968 it was basically officially the possession of Israel. Now, what do you see on the news if you're watching? They're trying to get them to split it up again. They want the Catholics to have their portion, and the Orthodox and the Armenians to have their portion, and they want to give the East Jerusalem to the Palestinians for a capital. And then the Jews are only going to have a tiny little piece of it. And Netanyahu said, forget it. And I hope he sticks to his guns literally on that. But we do know that when God comes, when Jesus returns, he says that he will pour out on the house of David upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Inhabitants. So Israel is going to be in control of Jerusalem. Right now, that piece of furniture is on the stage and it's set. It's ready. So we can see this over and over. Turn over to Romans 11. But in Romans 11, Paul is telling us Gentiles not to get cocky about the fact that we've been grafted in. And a lot of Gentiles have been that way. And they say, well, we've replaced Israel. Israel's finished. And Paul says in verse 25, For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. See, there's nothing that needs to be done except for the fact that that last person is saved. We talk about election and that kind of thing, regardless of where you come from at, on that issue, on the specifics. God has a body that He calls the elect, and there is an established number, and there's going to be a last person saved. And when that last person is saved, and only God knows who that is, I was reading Wilbur Chapman and some of these guys back in the early 20th century, before Israel was back in the land, when all this stuff was still very hypothetical. I mean, we're looking, we're spoiled. I mean, it's right there on TV for us to see. Back 150 years ago, you know, they were having prophecy conferences with D.L. Moody and R.A. Torrey and those guys, and they had, none of this had come to pass yet, a lot of it. And they were talking about how, you know, Israel's going to come back and everything. And Israel is going to be in the land, and that last elect is going to be saved. It's going to be revealed who that last elect is to us. God already knows. But what I was going to get at in those prophecy conferences is they had an old man get up and pray. And you can't hear the audio. They didn't record it, but you read it and you can just hear him. And he's saying, "Oh Lord, put a fire in us to preach the gospel and get that last one saved so we can get out of here." And that's what I'm thinking. Let's get busy and get this thing over with, man. But read verse 26 with me now. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." You see, that's another piece of the puzzle. People, it's just, I'm trying not to be mean, but they say, "This can't be a fulfillment of prophecy. Israel's not even following God. They're in unbelief." That's what it says. It says that Israel will be in unbelief, and when Jesus comes back, that's when their sins will be covered. They'll come back and they'll mourn for the one that they pierced and they rejected. And in mourning for as for an only son, then they will believe, not by faith, but by sight. But in believing and receiving Him at His return, that's when Israel's saved. So the fact that Israel is in Israel and in unbelief, you said it earlier tonight, 80% of them profess to be either atheist or agnostic. That's exactly what God said would happen. So that piece of the puzzle, the stage is set. There'll be a remnant that are saved, and there are in Israel today. There's a remnant, but not that's a small remnant. Very small group. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. I think every time you look at these things and you realize this is what God says is going to happen, and the stage is set. Mm-hmm. And this is what God says is going to happen, and the stage is set. It just starts to boil over in you. Get you excited.
Sure does. That's right.
Let's start in verse 26. Just read 26 to 28. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Read 30 with me. "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." See that? Now, what was it like during Noah's day? Wicked. The thoughts of men were evil continually. That there was violence. And it wasn't just wars. It was between individuals. Because we are able to live in neighborhoods where we don't have drive-bys, we can kind of become insulated and not realize that it's more dangerous in the streets of the big cities in America than it is in Afghanistan today. Here in Columbus, Chicago, New York, L.A., it is safer in Afghanistan than it is in those cities. But because there's constantly people being killed and shot down, then we've kind of become numb to it and they don't say anything about it. That's how wicked and violent it has become. And that only for political reasons do you hear about the violence. Because someone's against a war, you hear about it. Well, I wish they'd end the war too. But that doesn't nullify all the violence over here in our cities. And what was it like in Lot's day? Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's a revival of the whole Sodomite movement today. And now they're even wanting, we said they were marrying wives. Well, in our day, they want to go a step further.
Yeah.
And make men and men wives with... And women with women. And they just thought, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. There, you know, it isn't going to rain. There's not going to be fire and brimstone coming from the sky. You guys are nuts. Mm-hmm. It's what they say about us. You go around telling everybody you believe in the rapture. Cuckoo. You're crazy. That's the way they talk about us. That's the way they talked about Noah and Lot.
Right.
Right up to the time that the waters came down and right to the time the fire and brimstone came down. And I think it's a picture of the believer being raptured and taken in the ark and taken out of the city, and that's the rapture. But that is a picture of what we see today. I was just telling Annie again, we were talking earlier, everything is lined up. It's just like it was in the day Jesus came the first time. And it'll be that way again. And you think about it, Rome revived Europe. And we have the European Union today. One language. It was Koine Greek back then. It's English now, but still there was a universal language. I mean, there's so many things you go on and on about the time when Jesus came. The Jews were in Palestine, as it's called today, in Judea. The Jews had a Sanhedrin. They have a Sanhedrin today. The Jews had the Pharisees who were attacking the apostles. And he's writing an article right now about the Pharisees of the modern day, the Orthodox, attacking Messianic Jewish Christians today. It's just like when Jesus came the first time. Stage is being set beyond anything we can imagine. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians now. And verse chapter 2. And let's just read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll read verse 1, you guys jump in verse 2, and we'll read 1 through 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come, one, a falling away first, and two, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So, the rapture will take place, and you don't have to worry about going through the tribulation, because there will be what is called a great falling away. Now, the rapture is the reason for that great falling away. But as we speak, the great falling away is taking place. The structure, the infrastructure of the apostasy is being laid. And then when the rapture takes place, there will still be a church. A huge church. And the ecumenical groups are bringing them all together so that when the rapture takes place, everybody will just fall in line. I believe they'll fall in line behind the Pope. And the Pope will be the international leader of this religion. And they will totally throw off Jesus Christ and follow this other Christ. Who? The man of perdition. The son of perdition. Man of sin. So you have to sit back now and say, now this is what's going to happen. Is the world ready for this? I think so. The ecumenical movement. And the whole one world religion, that's the theme that you hear everybody chanting. And I don't mean all the really wacko people. I mean, all for years the hippies have all been saying, oh, let's just get along. You know, and that's the kind of thing that you've seen in a lot of groups for years. But we were talking about the other day, every one of the recent presidents have said, all paths lead to God.
Yeah.
Whether it's Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, Nancy Reagan speaks for Ronald now, and she has said it. Before them was Jimmy Carter, who has said it. All of them, all the presidents line up and say, all paths lead to God. If the apostasy, rejecting Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, is from top to bottom, set up and ready. And I've said on these guys on TV, not just Oprah, but I've heard it out of Sean Hannity, I've heard it out of Bill O'Reilly, and I've heard it out of, then you had the passing of Walter Cronkite who preached it, Hillary Clinton, just on and on it goes. All these well-known leaders in media and politics and religion are all singing the same tune, and it's apostasy. We talk about Joel Osteen on Larry King Live saying that he couldn't say Jesus was the only way and that you'd go to hell if you didn't accept Jesus Christ. Billy Graham said it. Robert Shuler said it. They have the largest ministries in the world. And they're telling people you don't have to believe in Jesus Christ to get to heaven. That's the apostasy. Now, what's left? There's something hindering them. Beginning of verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, I believe that's a reference to the Holy Spirit. There are some people I love dearly who disagree with me. I don't know what they think that's talking about, and a lot of them just don't think it's talking about anything that we can know. I believe it is, because it says we know what's keeping him from revealing himself, and that is the church. And once the church is removed, then the falling away is complete, and then the man of sin is revealed. I think it's self-explanatory in the text. But notice what he's going to do. He's going to exalt himself above God and he's going to walk in the temple. Mm-hmm. What temple? There's got to be a rebuilt temple. Sure. So you ask yourself, okay, is there a rebuilt temple being rebuilt? Not yet. No. They have already made the Temple Mount Faithful is a group over in Israel of thousands of Jews putting their money together and their talents, like we have been reading about in the book of Exodus, where God gave people the spirit of wisdom so that they can make these things. And he's risen people over there right now doing that very thing, getting everything ready so that they can rebuild this temple and occupy it. I think it'll take them about 3.5 years to get it where they want it. And just as soon as they get it where they want it, that's what's going to happen. The Antichrist will walk right in there and say, I am God.
Boom.
Boom. And that's when literally all hell breaks loose.
Right.
Now, so we know that the Jews are over there in unbelief getting ready to rebuild their temple. The stage is set. That they've been doing it for 20 years. They've been making the things to put in the temple. And breeding this red heifer that they have to have for the ceremony of opening the temple. They tried to take the cornerstone back up on the Temple Mount. There was a riot. It was a few years ago. And there was people killed. Because the Jews were trying to take the cornerstone to start building the temple. And it's basically God up there saying, I ain't ready yet.
Not time yet.
But they're getting ready. The stage is set. Let's look at what happens in verse 8. It's just too good to pass up. Everybody read it with me. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And there you go. Is the world ready to follow some guy that's going to lie to them and tell them what they want to hear?
So close to being ready anyway. That's
not just our own president, but around the world, whoever tells people what they want to hear, lying to them, knowing they're lying to them, and they want to hear it. Getting ready to pass a health care plan so that they can kill all the old people. Mm-hmm. And the old people are buying it. Mm-hmm. Even elderly statesmen have said, this is your death warrant. You will be put on a waiting list and left to die if the government does what they're going to do. And they believe a lie. Yes, it's sheep bleating. It's just so, everyone in the world without the Spirit of Christ is ready to believe a lie. Like we said, signs and wonders will follow believers. That's what Jesus said. But then you got these believers who all they do is follow signs and wonders. They got it backwards. And it's set and ready. One more place in Revelation 13. Beginning of verse 16, read with me. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The purpose of this message is to demonstrate that with every end-time prophecy we study, we can see that the world stage is being set. As with all these other prophecies, the fulfillment of Revelation 13 is taking place before our very eyes. The world is swiftly moving to a digital, cashless money system. World currency is being organized and united. Use of RFID microchip technology is growing exponentially around the world, with GPS satellite surveillance following our uses of cell phones and the internet. People have their pets and children microchipped, with military in the U.S. and around the world reportedly being microchipped for the sake of security and identification. There is no doubt that the world stage is being set for the Great Tribulation and the return of Jesus Christ. Soon, we hope to begin building a library of video documentaries showing that the signs of the times are taking place before our eyes and alerting believers to exactly where we stand in Bible prophecy. In the meantime, you can rely on God's Word and His Holy Spirit to help you understand these times in which you live. The purpose of this study is to show you how that you can recognize the signs of the times by simply reading your own King James Bible and looking at the world around you. Read the Bible and pray and ask God to help you see the stage is set. Jesus is coming soon. Be sure to visit our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can find a wealth of MP3 audio message downloads, along with additional videos, articles, and links. This message is brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. I am Greg Miller. Thank you for listening.